Good morning. 8 minutes after 7 o'clock, John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Under a bill being proposed by Republicans in the state legislature, food share debit cards would include a photo ID of the cardholder. Another proposal would make people ineligible for unemployment benefits for 7 years if they commit to acts of fraud. In today's State Capitol Report, we'll talk about those two proposals with a pair of state lawmakers and with you, should you care to join us. 800-642-1234 is the phone number. You can also find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and leave your comment or question there. Joining me in this first half of the broadcast is Samantha Kirkman, Republican state representative from Salem and the Majority Caucus Sergeant-at-Arms. She's a co-sponsor of the food stamp photo ID bill and the author of the Two Strikes and You're Out Unemployment Insurance Fraud Bill. Representative Kirkman, welcome to the Joy Cardine Program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, let's begin with the photo ID proposal for accessing what we traditionally called food stamp benefits. They're not food stamps anymore, but we still think of them that way. Representative Kramer is the author. You're listed as a co-sponsor. How would this work? And would the recipient's picture go right on the card itself? How's this going to take place?
Correct. That's my understanding of how the card will be set up. Both of these ideas actually came out of the joint from audits, I believe, that were done. I'm the co-chair of the Joint Audit Committee, and a few years ago, back in 2008, 2009, we actually did an audit of the food share program, which did show that there were multiple recipients that were receiving cards multiple times a month. I think the most that one particular recipient received in a month was over 20 cards. And so having the ID on the card helps to prevent people from actually selling those cards, trading those cards for benefits, making sure that the person uses that card is responsible, similar to like your EBT card. You know, as we use our debit cards, sometimes some credit card companies allow you to actually have your photo on that particular card to identify you as the holder of that card. And in the same way, your photo would be on that food share card.
Mm-hmm.
On the SNAP card.
So would each member of a family receiving benefits get his or her own card with their picture on it?
I believe it's still tracked as a family card holder, you know, the head of household, because there are minor children that are eligible for those benefits as well. So I'm not sure 100% on the details on the minor children, but it's my understanding the folks that are of age, because, again, a household could include, say, a family is living with grandma and grandpa because they're having a hard time with their house. Those actual individuals in that household are eligible for benefits as well.
Okay, so I guess what I'm getting at is, let's say that the person receiving the benefits is not able to go to the store and has to send someone else to get them. Particularly, let's say somebody who's elderly who is homebound. How would this work in that case?
Again, the card goes to the person who is receiving the benefits. You know, in some cases, in certain cases, you might have to make arrangements for somebody else to use the card. Again, I'm not the lead author of the bill, so I don't have all the particular details mm-hmm. on how that would necessarily work out. But when we've talked about this proposal before, again, it's identifying the person who is responsible for the benefits, who is eligible to be on that card. There have been many cases in which fraud has occurred where that card has been used, for instance, here in Wisconsin. One of the more egregious cases that upsets me that came out of the audit was the card was here used in Wisconsin, the actual physical card itself, and then within an hour and a half, that same card was used, manually transmitted into a kiosk in New York. So, again, somebody's food share benefits card was utilized in Wisconsin, and then within an hour and a half, it was used in New York, and there's no way physically possible to get from Wisconsin to New York. Or there were a number of cases where cards were used out of state. Now, again, the photo ID doesn't impact that as much because they did trace those cases to the actual recipient. But again, it's making sure that people don't go into, and from what I understand, the rings happen they go into a grocery store and they, you know, see a person who might be paying cash and say to that person, hey, I have $100 on my card, or I have $50 on my card, you know, $25 for my card. So they get, you know, additional $25 worth of benefits. They trade their card and, you know, give their PIN number up, and then they go through the line and they use the PIN number. So, again, this is to combat that type of fraud where people are trading and selling their cards.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some calls because we only have you here until about 7:30. Representative Kirkman, let's take some calls. Sheree is joining us from Waupun this morning. Sheree, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. This really strikes a sore point with me because I do take care of elderly people. I have done home health care where I've taken their food share card with their permission and bought items that they've needed. And, you know, number one, to create even a bureaucracy just to make exceptions for that seems wasteful as opposed to just keeping it the way that it is. It has a PIN number. The PIN number is there. If I have a PIN number, that means I have permission to use it. And if it's fraudulent and it's been stolen, there's a whole new reporting process for that. So that's not even really an issue. To me, this is more about attacking people who are in need, not addressing issues like low job wages, police violence, urban violence, and it's literally just attacking the people instead of actually looking at the problem. And I don't understand why they feel the need to attack people who are already in a position to need and want help. So there's issues with transportation when you're poor. So sometimes you send someone to the store for you because you don't have the ride at the time. There are so many nuances that go with this. And for someone to just make something blanket like that, I've gone to the store for my mother. I mean, my goodness, people, we need to get over this. This is ridiculous.
All right, Sheree, thanks for the call. Representative Kirkman?
Sure, and I appreciate her comments. You know, the hard part is the audit showed there were hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of fraud, actually millions of dollars worth of fraud in the food share program in several different categories. One was the person who was selling and trading their cards. So that person who reported that their card was lost or stolen over 20 times in 1 month, who then got new cards, that's the thing that frustrates me. And that's the type of fraud I want to root out because I want to have these programs available for the folks that need it, like the person she talked about, the elderly mom who is in need of the program. I don't want people who are frauding the program to have access to the program.
How would adding photos to the card stop people from getting multiple cards?
Because they wouldn't be able to go trade their cards and sell their cards for cash on the card and go and report it lost or stolen. When somebody, you know, I have a debit card. I don't know if you have a debit card, but, you know, I've reported it lost or stolen probably twice in 5 years. You know, people who repeatedly, and it's the same people, and that's where we're able to track it. And we as the state government can't prohibit those people from getting new cards. We can't even charge them for the new cards because of the federal laws. So that's the thing that's frustrating is that we keep reissuing these cards. The same people who go out and trade these cards or sell these cards, and we as taxpayers are paying for that. They don't refill that benefit on the card, but they report it. And so that's the thing that's frustrating to me.
We're coming up against news time here, but before we get to that, I want to ask you about the cost of implementing this program. The Department of Health Services estimates the requirement would cost the state and federal government $7.4 million to start up and another $2 million a year to keep it going. Is it worth it?
I believe so, because if we can root out more than, you know, that amount of money in fraud, I think we've made significant progress. And I think then the taxpayers who are paying into this program will be assured that the state government and federal government are looking out for the taxpayers and looking out for the recipients. I mean, that's the whole, when I look at a fraud bill or things that I'm doing, I look at making sure that the program is stronger for the people who actually need the program, who are utilizing the program. I just spent 5 days out at the Kenosha County Fair talking about that down here, and that's what my constituents are asking me to do. So, you know, I'm trying to do that statewide.
Very quickly, this has to be, we have to apply for a waiver from the federal government, and Representative Kramer says he doesn't think it's likely we'll get one, so why even bring this up?
Because I think it's one of those policy decisions where our constituents do expect it of us. Again, talking to hundreds of people this weekend, people really want government to be accountable to them. Mm. And that's what I'm elected and hired to do. And so, even if the federal government says no right now, it doesn't say in the future that they won't say no to this.
All right, we're going to take a break for news, and when we come back, Representative Kirkman will be here with us for another 10 minutes or so to talk about another bill that's being proposed, and that has to do with unemployment benefits. We'll be back to talk with her about that and take your calls and questions as well. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's our state capitol report for this week. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. We're talking with a pair of state legislators this hour about two proposals in the legislature. We've been talking about a photo ID bill that would be designed to reduce fraud in the food stamp program. And we're also going to talk about a bill related to unemployment benefits and trying to curb fraud in that program as well. My guest in this part of the program is Samantha Kirkman, a Republican state representative from Salem, Majority Caucus Sergeant-at-Arms. She's a co-sponsor of the photo ID bill and the author of the Two Strikes and You're Out unemployment insurance fraud bill. Let's talk about that for just a moment. We're calling this the Two Strikes and You're Out bill. It would keep people from receiving unemployment benefits for 7 years if they're caught ripping off the system more than once. How big a problem is unemployment fraud in Wisconsin?
Well, thanks for the question. Back in December of last year, we had done an audit because of the high rate of calls because the federal government changed the unemployment system. So it was more for the calls people couldn't get through because my office received a number of phone calls. But when we saw the audit, they don't just look at phone calls. They looked at the whole program for us. And so on page 31 of the audit, when I was going through it with our state auditor, Joe Christman, table 11 showed that there were 64,000 claims of intentional fraud in the program, as the Department of Workforce Department describes it. And then there was 577,000 of unintentional cases of fraud, where somebody works, generally speaking, 40 hours, but they only work 36 hours, and they reported working 40 hours. So again, a large number of people who reported, generally speaking, a small amount of dollars to the system. That amount for the unintentional fraud was about $61 million over a three-year period. For the intentional fraud, those 64,000 claims was about $86 million of fraud. And so then I get to thinking and trying to figure out really what was going on. I asked more questions of the department. We had a hearing on this audit. Again, it was about phone calls, but again, page 31 is in the audit, so we had a very fruitful discussion about the intentional fraud and unintentional fraud. Who are those, who's doing that type of, claim? And one of the big examples that I was given was in that intentional fraud was a nurse who was working for the VA in Milwaukee, making $70,000 a year. She also said at the same time that she was unemployed, she collected over $43,000 worth of benefits. And again, that's the type of system where I get very angry, because our unemployment system is paid for by businesses who pay into the system on behalf of their employees. Back in the late, 2008, 2009, our businesses were actually surcharged additional amounts because our unemployment system was not whole. And so when I hear that there's $86 million of fraud taken out of the system that could go to people who really need the benefit, and we have 64,000 claims of people intentionally frauding the system, I get very frustrated. And in doing more research, there's not a lot of penalties. There are penalties. You have to repay it. And like the nurse is repaying it $12 per week. She's living in a 3,000-square-foot townhome up in Minnesota, or at least she was, still working, but yet paying us back at a slow rate of dollar amount, and very frustrating. So I said, well, how can we, there's no penalty to actually kick somebody out who's fraud of the system twice. And so I put the bill together, and I'm, you know, working through the legislature. Last week we just had a hearing, and the hearing got away, you know, from the real root of why I'm doing this bill. I'm doing this bill to make the program stronger for those who really need the benefit, who were fired through no fault of their own, that are unemployed, not for people who are frauding out the system, you know, creating, mm-hmm. you know, schemes to collect more money.
Opponents of this proposal say that the filing process includes some rather complex questions and unfamiliar technology. Maybe we should work on simplifying the process to reduce the numbers of mistakes that people make on their applications.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I don't, you know, making it more efficient, making the online process more efficient. When you read a question that says, did you work last week, receive, you know, compensation through, you know, bonuses, such and such. I mean, the question I was asked, just making it simpler for people. I don't disagree with you on that. And that's at 577,000 claims, where it isn't a very simple process. What I'm getting at, and my two strikes and you're out, if you fraud the system twice, you can't, on a third time for 7 years, go back to the trough and try to get more unemployment, which is not yours. And it's a pretty simple issue. I'm trying to really, you know, you have to, on the first time, you just have the standard penalties that are currently on the books. On the second time, you fraud the system and you're found guilty of it, you're not going to be able to have benefits for 7 years. It's not a lifetime ban. Personally, I would prefer that, but I looked at, you know, 7 years is enough a deterrent where people aren't going to do it and try to fraud the system a second time or a third mm-hmm. time.
Well, I mean, are we prosecuting people who commit this kind of fraud now? I mean, obviously, we caught this woman who was working full time and still collecting benefits. Is there enough prosecution? Is that something we also need to look at?
In the last year they sent 19 cases for prosecution. The hard part about it, those prosecutions aren't felony cases. The governor in the budget actually proposed to make it a felony to actually fraud the system, which I support. I've been committee members last week were telling me that I should do that bill too, so I'm going to come back. I have it already in drafting, and I will make it tougher and actually put some meat in our criminal statutes as well. But this is for the person who's going through the administrative process, who has really learned how to fraud the system or to get around things. Again, and since I'm not an expert, I don't work in the unemployment program, but working with the people who do, and our state auditor, who is nonpartisan, this is how I came up with the bill. And, you know, it's frustrating because I do want the program to be there. I have had friends that have been unemployed. They've utilized the program, especially, you know, during those lean years down here, and, you know, when 2007, 2008, when our unemployment rate really spiked up. We needed the program, and we still need it today, but I want it to be strong for those who actually utilize the program.
We have a couple of calls. We have a couple of calls I'd like to get to before we have to let you go, Representative Kirkman. Let's go to Tony in Waukesha. Tony, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, good morning. First of all, the real issue here is low wages, because these are all branches of that main issue. And I just want to say that the what's really going on here is I actually owned a business for a while, and I got a letter when Walker got in office that says that my unemployment insurance rates are going down because of the reforms that Walker has put in place. And what Walker has done is he's putting things in place that make it more difficult for people to file unemployment, which their bigger agenda is to herd people into low-paying jobs because there's a demand right now for, you know, low-paying jobs. And basically, he's walking around saying, oh, taking credit for all these jobs that he says he created, when really he didn't create a lot of these jobs. He just made unemployment more harder for people to file, and then that cuts the, you know, amount of people that file for unemployment, so then they're forced into these low-paying jobs, and then he runs around taking credit for all these jobs. So really, I would really ask that the representative stop looking out for the people that donate and to her campaign and put her in office, like the business owners, and start looking out for the people who work for a living and start fighting for higher wages and things that are really going to benefit people, and then these other problems are going to go away. Because people are going to...
All right, Tony, we get it. We've got to go for time here. Representative Kirkman.
Well, great. Actually, there are six significant penalties in place for companies that fraud the unemployment system. On the first go-around, if you fraud the system, it's a $25,000 penalty for a business. So, again, on that side of things, on the side of our unemployment, we are, you know, in Kenosha County, I'm very, very lucky. We have 5,500 jobs that have come on in the last, you know, year and a half. We've got more slated to come on. Uline is building their distribution center here in Kenosha County. High-paying, great jobs. Kennel just came up and moved up here, added 372 jobs, plus they've already added another 50 to 100 employees. Good manufacturing jobs right here in Kenosha County, high wages. So I do agree that we, as, you know, elected leaders, we need to get government out of the way, let the private sector work, and bring businesses in, and have businesses compete, because that does help the workers.
All right, Representative Kirkman, we're going to let you go and move on with the program. Really appreciate your time this morning coming on here to explain all this to us. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks. Have a great week.
Samantha Kirkman is a Republican state representative from Salem and the Majority Caucus Sergeant-at-Arms. She's co-sponsor of the Food Stamp Photo ID Bill and the author of the Two Strikes and You're Out Unemployment Insurance Fraud Bill. We're going to move the discussion to the Democratic side of the aisle for the rest of this hour. Andy Jorgensen is joining me now. He's a Democratic state representative from Milton and the Minority Caucus Chair. He's also the ranking Democrat on the Assembly's Public Benefit Reform Committee. Representative Jorgensen, thanks for joining me this morning. Now, we just got done talking about Representative Kirkman's unemployment benefits fraud bill, so let's start with that. An audit showed that people got more than $86 million in fraudulent payments over a three-year period. Why is this happening?
Well, thanks for having me on this morning. Boy, I'm glad to be here. You know, first of all, if this was really about stamping out abuse and fraud, Democrats would be all for trying to get to the root of it. That's not what these bills are about. These bills are about getting a quick headline. Let's talk about the audit. According to the Legislative Audit Bureau, on December 2014 report, 85% of unemployment overpayments are due to unintentional mistakes, confusion. They found about 500,000 such errors over a three-year period. That's a problem with the system, not the people. That's what we need to address first.
Yeah, Representative Kirkman referenced that that figure, but her point is that there's still this $86 million out there in intentional fraud.
Well, you got to take a look at the confusion first. Let me talk about a guy who's been accused of fraud. At last Tuesday's hearing, an attorney with Legal Action shared a story of a young man with Asperger's syndrome who hadn't understood that tips might be considered bonus pay. He answered the question incorrectly and now is facing thousands of dollars in fines. And he's appealing the charge, citing his disability, but so far that hasn't been a good enough answer for DWD. So now he's going to court. So make no mistake, folks, guys like this will lose under this bill if it becomes law. They won't be just fined, no. They'll lose their benefit for which they work for 7 years. Now, this guy, this example I gave, is a guy who thought he was doing the right thing, found out later, oh, I made a mistake. Tried to work it out with the department. They still accused him of fraud, and now he's going to have to go to court. So these are good people that are going to lose this benefit because this automated system is very confusing. I mean, here's a good example of one of the questions you're asked. And this is a confusing question. During the week, did you work or did you receive or will you receive sick pay, bonus pay, or commission? Now, if you push yes or no, that's what you're expected to do. There's no one to talk it out with, and you hope that you got it right. And if you didn't get it right under this bill, you could be accused of fraud when all you were was just really confused. That's a shame.
Mm-hmm. We have a comment from Gary on Facebook who says these types of laws help to protect the poor. Those who commit fraud are stealing resources that should be going to those truly in need, and reducing fraud protects the benefits of those who actually need them. And Gary is referring specifically to the photo ID requirement, which we'll get to in a little bit. Photo ID seems reasonable, and the only problem I see with the unemployment benefit part is defining what constitutes fraud as opposed to making an honest mistake when filling out a form. And that's really the crux of this discussion, isn't it? I mean, on the unemployment side, how do you determine what is intentional fraud? The example cited by Representative Kirkman was the nurse working for the VA in Milwaukee who was also full-time, who was also collecting unemployment benefits illegally. Okay, so that's that. But you're talking about people who are being prosecuted for having made a mistake filling out a form. How do you create a system where you can take care of the fraud that's actually happening and not damage people who are making innocent mistakes?
That is a great question. We tried to get to that point at the hearing last week. So why not show intent through how much money people are trying to fraud the system for? She likes to tell the story about the $43,000. But under this bill, if you steal a dollar, you're still accused of the same thing as someone who stole thousands of dollars. So if you're defrauding the system by more than $10,000 a year, we just spitballed this idea out on the hearing last week. How about then you can't be eligible for unemployment for 7 years? Maybe that's a way to ensure we're focusing on the real problem cases, the cases in which the state loses the vast majority of overpayment dollars, and not wasting time and resources going after someone who's made a small, relatively insignificant mistake. Now, unfortunately, the bill's authors, Representative Kirkman, seem totally unwilling to accept amendments, unwilling to admit the flaws in their plan. It was really incredible for me, John, because I offered an analogy like this. I asked Representative Kirkman if she saw a kid swiping a dollar from her mom's purse in the same way that she saw robbing a bank at gunpoint. And she said that fraud is fraud. And so we weren't able to come to a place where we can really show that this person was really trying to buck the system. Now, hopefully my colleagues on the committee will be more open-minded, realistic, and compassionate. I hope that's what it's going to happen from here on out.
Well, Representative Kirkman said current deterrents aren't working. The penalties aren't high enough, and people aren't being deterred from committing fraud. And she wants to see stiffer penalties and more enforcement. Would you agree with that?
I'll agree. We need to get to what is really happening as far as fraud. But first things first. There is so much confusion going on here, so much so the federal government has even told us to clean up our act on these questions that are being asked of people who are going on this benefit. So let's fix that first. Let's get this all cleared out. Let's get these confusing questions out of the way. Let's work on that and then go after those people that are actually trying to mess with the system and trying to be fraudulent.
So what do you predict will happen in our state if we have people becoming ineligible for unemployment benefits for 7 years?
Well, that's a scary question because this is, 7 years, that's a mighty long time. I've been on unemployment, and I know how confusing this system can be. You push the button after you're asked a question, you hope to God you got it right. But if you didn't, just like the example I gave, well, you're going to be out of that benefit for 7 years. And I asked Representative Kirkman, why 7 years? Well, she thought if she had her way, it would be for life. So she compromised, I guess, down to 7 years. Mm. So really didn't have a very good answer as to how she came to that point. But you're right. This stands to kick thousands of people off unemployment for 7 years just for making simple mistakes on their weekly filings, mistake any one of us could easily make. And that's a shame. We need to back this up. This bill is not ready for prime time. Back to the drawing board.
Okay, we're going to take a break for the news, Representative Jorgensen, so stay with us. And when we come back, I want to loop back to the photo ID requirement for collecting food share benefits. We'll do that, and we'll take some more calls and Facebook comments, 800-642-1234. Look for the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Leave your comment or question there. What do you think about these two Republican proposals, one about unemployment and the other about having a photo ID to access food stamp benefits? 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you.
It's the State Capitol Report on the Joy Cardine Show. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. We are taking a look at a pair of bills moving through the legislature, one dealing with a photo ID requirement for accessing food stamp benefits, and another, a bill dealing with unemployment insurance fraud. We heard from Representative Samantha Kirkman in the first half of this hour. Now we're talking with Andy Jorgensen, Democratic State Representative from Milton, Minority Caucus Chair. He's also the ranking Democrat on the Assembly's Public Benefit Reform Committee. We have callers who want to join in on our discussion, and we'll get to those in just a moment. I'd like to change our focus here. We've talked about the unemployment bill. What about the food stamp photo ID bill? You said that this is a half-baked idea intended to grab a quick headline. Why do you say that?
It is. Republicans would have you believe that a photo ID will stamp out fraud, but in reality, this could only stop hungry people putting food on the table. Let me just say, in the committee where this bill came last week, that's your chance to build consensus on a bill, to try and open some eyes and try to get more people to support your bill by talking about the specifics of the bill. And I just felt it was pretty interesting when the author of this bill, Representative Kramer, he said this: it's clear the majority of food share users are not abusing the system. And he's right. But then why are we here? I mean, because we're after that quick headline. I think he kind of said it himself, because studies show only 1% of fraud in the system, much of which is not committed by recipients. We truly may be spending more than we'd save on this proposal. For the taxpayers, this deal is a terrible deal.
Do we know how much of this type of fraud is actually happening in Wisconsin? Because everything I've read about this is using like a national estimate that in the system itself, the Department of Agriculture estimates that 1.3% or 1.5%, depending on whose number you're using, is fraud. And in Wisconsin, that would translate into about $14 million. Do we know that that's actually taking place?
Again, we have all kinds of numbers floating around, and again, the author wasn't able to answer those questions either, as to exactly what is the recipient and other entities of the stops these that this card makes. And we asked also, but here's the bottom line: we asked what would happen if someone was caught wrongfully using another's individual Quest card, and we were shocked to learn that this bill offered no mandate to report such a fraud. So, John, even after all the pictures being taken and the on these cards and all the money being spent, the end result at the checkout line would not end with someone who was, well, let's say that I went up to a checkout line to that 16-year-old kid checking me out, and he sees on the card it's a picture of a woman. Is he expected under this bill to do anything about it? The answer is no. The answer is no, and so nothing comes of anything what we're about to talk about this bill. Well, this bill doesn't make anything happen.
That's assuming that the person at the checkout actually saw the card, because don't these things work with a magnetic strip? You run them through the card reader. It's been a long time since I had anyone at a checkout actually ask me to show them my debit card or my credit card, for example. Do we know that the cards would actually be looked at?
John, you raise another good point. And even if they are, if people cannot be subjected to anything different than someone else, that's called discrimination. They cannot be subjected to discrimination in any way. You're right. So it's not natural for you or I to hand someone our debit card before we punch it in. That doesn't happen right now. So a checker has to look at a Quest card to cross-check the photograph. They're being singled out. And it may not seem like a big deal to you or me, but photo ID Quest cards would lead to civil rights violations and most certainly costly lawsuits. And no state has successfully implemented a program like this without legal issues or wasted taxpayer money. For instance, Maine was placed in corrective action in 2014 by the feds for faulty implementation. Massachusetts was informed by the USDA they were in violation of the law for a similar program. Rhode Island, Missouri, New York, they all stopped moving forward with their programs after they were deemed wasteful, and this will be no different. And the author of this bill didn't have a lot of answers for our questions. This bill, too, is not ready for prime time.
Okay, let's take some calls. A lot of people want to get in on this issue. We'll start in Burlington, where Cindy is with us. Cindy, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, you know, putting a photo ID on these cards would be an excellent deterrent. I am not kidding. I've seen it. I've lived it. It would stop people from handing these cards over for $100 and whatnot, and then these people can just go. It's just a PIN number, and like they were saying, they could just pop it in, no problems. If you put an ID on it, and if it doesn't have to be the person on the card, if it's the main person that goes to the store because somebody else is working, whoever is on that card, it was totally deterrent. And if not, you're always going to have it because, okay, they're still going to have lights. If they're going to need some money, that person still has to go to the store. But they have a list from that person. So you're not going to stop it, but you are going to deter it.
Okay. Cindy, thanks for the call. Cindy says photo ID is going to deter fraud. Representative Jorgensen?
Two things on that. As I mentioned earlier, this bill doesn't say anything comes of anybody noticing that the person on the that's handing the card over, and you raise a good point. We don't even know how that would work. But if that's not the same person, this bill doesn't call for a plan of action for anything to happen. Nothing. It's wasteful. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is what it will deter is good Samaritans, good neighbors taking the card for someone who's homebound, elderly, handicapped, and going down to the store and getting their items for them and taking them to them. That's what it will deter, is a good neighbor doing the right thing. That won't happen anymore under this bill, and that would be a shame.
Let's take some more calls. Joe is in Fredonia. Joe, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I'm calling on the unemployment part of things. In the past, I've lived in states where when I filed for unemployment, I put down the amount of money I'm willing to work for and basically a radius of a distance I would travel. I would like to see Wisconsin to do that because employers could call in. They could say, we have a job. We pay this much money, and they can give the details of it. The unemployment office can now match an individual to that job request. And then if I go there and I decide I don't want to take that job, even though it meets the requirements I requested, I'm automatically taken off the unemployment because of my choice, not because of it wasn't there. It wasn't in my criteria. It's because my choice. I get removed from unemployment. I think that would prevent a lot of fraud right there.
Okay, Joe, thanks for the call. Representative Jorgensen.
I think taking a look at the way other states do their systems, if they're successful, we ought to be looking at things like that. This bill does not take care of the problem at hand, first and foremost, and that's the confusion of the whole thing. Let's tackle that first.
All right. Brenda in Toma, we'll go to you next. Brenda, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
Good. My thing is on the unemployment issue, and I'm kind of referring to the nurse that was collecting benefits as she was still working. Normally, you know, we get the unemployed person gets, you know, charged for fraud. But yet, who charges the system for letting this continue for such a long time? I mean, why wasn't anybody catching this at the unemployment end of it, the office of unemployment?
Okay. All right, Brenda. So, we'll have to let you go there because we're running out of time. Representative Jorgensen, why aren't we focusing on better enforcement of current unemployment rules?
Well, I think there's an opportunity to look at things like that. You're right. This story of $70,000 a year, who defrauded the system for $40,000, to make that kind of money, you've got to be setting up multiple accounts under false names because the average weekly unemployment benefit is something like $235. So I agree. That's where we should be going. Sometimes it takes longer than it should to drill down and get the people that are doing this. But let's make a threshold of money to make sure that we get the real nefarious ones, the ones that aren't being confused by the whole thing and messing up by a few dollars here and there. Let's get this bill to be responsible and to go after the people that are trying to defraud the system for thousands of dollars. That seems like where we should be going with this bill, but the authors don't want to go there.
Okay. We had a caller who wanted to know what changes should we be making to our public assistance programs right now to make them more effective?
Well, on the unemployment thing, let's start there. I mean, I've said it over and over again. Let's make it less confusing. The federal government has even tapped us on the shoulder saying, hey, clean up your act. These questions are confusing. This isn't right. And we haven't done that. So that should be first and foremost. And on the food share, I've heard that this morning. Let's focus on good-paying jobs. How about that? Let's try and focus on getting someone to be able to support their family on a wage, work for it, so they don't have to go and be on assistance. I think that's where our focus should be. And if we really want to go after folks that are defrauding systems and whatnot, let's go after WEDIC. Because they're begging, in my opinion, for us to come over and take a look at what's going on there. And there's a lot of fraud and things that need to be cleaned up. Perhaps even, you know, we need to go over there and take a look as to what we can do as legislators to make sure what's going on there. They're the ones that are supposed to be creating jobs in our state, but they're not. And we've got a lot of opportunity to help out over there to make sure that our tax dollars are going where they're supposed to be.
How likely is it, do you think, that the federal government is going to grant the kind of waiver Wisconsin would need to implement this photo ID proposal?
Well, I mean, I'll just go to the author of that bill and, you know, pretty much say what he said. He's not hopeful that this thing is even going to happen. I mean, it's hard to sit through a hearing, John, when you're listening to a bill and the author doesn't even think it's going to even get off the ground. He's not hopeful on the federal government approving a waiver for this. So why should we be? And that was my whole question. I mean, I sat there scratching my head a whole bunch of times. We're just wasting our time. Why not try to really actually fix this problem rather than knowing full well you're going to run into a brick wall? Seemed very silly to me.
All right, Representative Jorgensen, we have run out of time. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I really appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me.
Andy Jorgensen is a Democratic state representative from Milton. He's also the minority caucus chair and ranking Democrat on the Assembly's Public Benefit Reform Committee. Earlier in the hour, we heard from Republican Representative Samantha Kirkman, who is the author of the Two Strikes and You're Out unemployment insurance fraud bill. This program was produced by Bill Martins, on-air production by Elizabeth Deliquis, and Christy Taylor handled show direction this hour. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. More to come here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay tuned.